tried to get him to let me sing with him, but he did a good job without my help. Thank you. Appreciate him. Appreciate him coming up here and singing. Amen. Don't take that for granted, please. That's just a blessing. We're glad to have you today, and those who are online and our visitors today from the, where again? Winston-Salem, all right, okay, good to have you today. I couldn't remember for sure where it was, so I could tell people I have a photographic mind, but it ran out of film. All right, take your Bibles this morning, if you're listening in online or here this morning, and go to the 11th chapter of the book of Matthew, and we're going to look at three verses in verse 28, verse 29, and verse 30 in this text. Discovering the secret of spiritual rest in a restless society in which we live. Let me read these verses and then we'll make our comments on them. Verse 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, you shall find rest in your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Father, do a work in our hearts this morning for those who are listening in and online and those who are here today. Speak, Father, blessed Spirit of God, use this message for your glory in Christ's name. Amen. I want you to notice the word rest, which is the last word in verse 28. And again in verse 29, you find the word rest. If I take each of those letters of the word rest, I think it will give to us the meaning of what it is to have a restful soul in a restless world. Take the R, first of all, restore your passion for God. Look there in verse 28. Look at these three words. Come unto me. Note that. Come unto me. In other words, take time to quiet your soul. I was thinking of Psalm 40. If you want to just put something there so you can get back to that and turn with me to Psalm 40 for just a moment. I think you have an illustration of what we mean here. Taking time to quiet your soul. We live in a restless age today. Look there, if you will, please, in verse 1. And I waited patiently unto the Lord, and he inclined in me, and he heard my cry. Notice verse 2, he brought me up also out of a horrible pit. Now the word horrible is an interesting word here. It means noisy. Noisy. You can have a noisy soul today. That is certainly all kinds of things that we'll deal with in just a moment that flood our soul. Our soul is the part of us of feelings and emotions, and it is there. Notice what he says further, out of the miry clay and set my feet upon a rock and established my God. He put a new song in my mouth. He goes from the horrible pit out of the miry clay and back into the choir, from the mire to the choir. Next week, our fathers are going to sit up here and make a fool of ourselves, for those of us who do not know how to sing, but we will make noise along with those who know how to sing. But what's he saying here? Get out of the mire of a noisy soul and into the choir of God's heavenly presence in your soul. How much we need that today. So what does he come to do when he says, restore your passion for... Go back to our text there in the book of Matthew chapter 28. Come unto me. In other words, take time to quiet your soul. Take time just so you can get out of the miry clay into the choir, from the mire into the choir. And take time to question your world. What world are you living most of the time in? There are two worlds. You know that? There are really two. There are two worlds. There's a world rushing to destruction that we all live in physically. But there is also a world that rises above the depravity of this world, and that world is with our Lord, and we recognize that as so wonderful. Nothing will ruin your passion for God more than a noisy soul. What do I mean by that? It's enslaved, a soul that is enslaved to the sounds of the world. What are some of these sounds? Fear, worry, anger, discouragement, despair, bitterness. Are those not soul things in your soul? Lust, guilt, addiction, even entertainment, amusement, wrong music, video games. All these things are noise that can rob you of having rest. There are times in your life, if you're under pressure, you can sleep 8-10 hours, wake up and still be tired. Or you can be depressed and wake up and still be depressed. You can be guilty. I was thinking over there, if I could just leave chapter 11 a moment and go to Psalm 38 for just a moment over there. And as you do, this is a psalm that David wrote when he was going through some times in his life where his soul was noisy. And I think about it. I want you to notice there, verse 3 of chapter 38. There is no soundness in my flesh because of thy anger. He was sensing the anger of God because of his guilt. Neither is there any what? Rest in my bones because of my sin. For my iniquities are gone over my head as a heavy burden. They are too heavy for me. And I want you to know that a restless soul, the burden is too heavy for us. And after a while, we will face tremendous results of those things. Look there, if you will, at verse 8. Lord, all my desire is before thee. Excuse me, verse 8. I am feeble and sore broken. I have roared by reason of the disquietness of my heart. In other words, disquieted means it was noisy. He had the problems of guilt. He had the problems of anger. He had the problems of bitterness. All those things that you find as a result of this physical world, it will affect us emotionally in our souls. Think with me today. So you take that word rest. What's he say? Restore your patience, your passion for God. How these things that I just mentioned that enslaves our soul, whether it be fear, whether it be guilt, whether it be lust, whether it be this or whether it be that, it certainly will rob us of rest. And so what's he say? Come unto me. Come unto me. I don't mean come unto me just when you come to church. But come unto me, I suggest today that you come unto him even at the beginning of the morning. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. Morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and what? We'll look up. Oh, how we need to look up in a world and say. So first letter is restore. He said, come unto me. He said, all you that are look here, all you that are labored are heavy laden. He's not talking about the physical here. He's talking about the things that take place in the soul. Look here. And all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Think with me, first of all, when I think of that E, the exchange, your load of noise for the load of rest. After he deals with the R, restore your patience. Now, E, exchange. You don't have to go on and facing all the noisy things that you hear in your soul if you make the exchange. Now, I'm against the Revised Standard Version, but I'm going to give you a reverse standard version this morning, not a revised. But what is he saying here? Okay, don't come unto me. Don't come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I'll deny your rest. Go ahead, refuse to come unto me with a noisy soul. Refuse to come unto me with your guilt. Refuse to come unto me with your depression. Refuse to come into me with all the things that are restless in your soul. Just refuse to do that, and I'll deny you rest. Refuse my yoke of fellowship and abiding, and refuse to learn what I am like in order to become like me, and you will have a noisy, a restless, and exhausted soul. I hope you're getting the thought here of what he's trying to say in this passage. It's a noisy world we live in. I don't know about you, but I can only take so many minutes of a newscast today, of the news, you know, because it does something to my soul. When I think about all that's going on in Washington, all that's going on in the borders, all that's going on, that's noise that robs you of your blessed fellowship with God. Think about the soul. Notice what he says here, going back to our passage again of chapter 11. He said, look there, let's read verse 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly, and you shall find rest. Where? In your souls. In your souls. Now, what is the soul? The soul is the source. The source of exhaustion is a heavy load in the soul. The seed of exhaustion is in your soul. It's not your body. You take a man who labors hard every day, and I guarantee you he can go to sleep at night and enjoy that. Show me a man who, with the business world or all this world of all the noise he hears, he may have a restless night. The source of exhaustion is the heavy laden. The seat of exhaustion is your soul. And the solution to exhaustion is found in verse 30. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He just exchanged the load. So exchange your load of noise for the rest that we found in Christ. You know, I was thinking down there, if I just drop down to verse 30 from, take my yoke, it's easy, and my burden is light. Now, folks, you not only will need to wear a crown, but you need to wear a yoke. We're going to be crowned when we get to heaven, but while we're here, we need to yoke. This is no joke. This is a yoke you need to wear. I was reading about how they would take an oxen that was a growing oxen who had did the heavy work, and it would put a yoke on the oxen, and then it put a take a new little young oxen, and they'd put a yoke on that and yoke those two together. They did it in such a way that the growing yoke, the growing ox would carry the burden, and the young yoke was learning how to be the ox it needed to be. And that's exactly where we are with Christ. I want to tell you today, the Christian life is not attainable, but it is obtainable through Christ. There's nothing I can do to obtain. I just need to be yoked to Him and let Him do all the work. Would you say amen to that? We need to do that. Think with me, the grief of a heavy load. It's just so heavy. I'm amazed of how many people today are living in depression, discouragement. You say, well, we got so much going on in the world. How about the other world? It's a better place to live in your spirit. Because I not only see the grief of a heavy load, but I see the gift of a restless soul. Look there with me, if you will, going back to our text. Notice verse 28 again. Come to me, all ye that labor and heavy, and I will give you rest. Now, I tell people all the time, present, present, present. Number one, live in the present. Number two, live in His presence. And number three, thank God for the presence He gives us. What is the one of the presents He gives? I'll give you what? Rest. That's a wonderful present from God. You know, people are going to psychiatrists and everywhere else trying to find rest in their soul, and they're not getting it. But He wants to offer us rest this morning. I thank the Lord for that. Now, let me remind you, and I've reminded you more than once, but I will remind you again. I never get tired of this. I want you to leave that portion for only a moment and go to 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5. And I want you to look there at verse 23 as I think about the exchange. You know what our problem is? Our problem is we wake up too much in the morning, beginning the day, living in the soul and not in the spirit. Would you get the order here? Look at him in chapter 5 and verse 23. And the very God of peace shall sanctify you wholly, and I pray that your whole what? Spirit, soul, and body. Now get the order. I've talked about it before. The spirit, that's your human spirit. That is a place of fellowship and communion with God. That is the place where we need to spend a great deal of our living experiences, in that place. You tell me you don't pray, then you're exhausted. You tell me you don't read the Bible doesn't read you, doesn't get into your heart, then you're exhausted. You're experiencing a problem in your life because you're there. That's the place of fellowship and communion. Then the soul, that's the place of what? Feelings. That's the place of feelings. There's where you make the choices you make. The choices you make. You realize a lot of people are not in church this morning because they made the wrong choice. They made the wrong choice. Their body said, why don't you stay a little longer? And the soul said, okay. I'll just stay in bed. I don't feel good. It's Sunday. I don't feel good. It's amazing how many people get well on Monday morning of that disease called Sundayitis. Because it's where the soul is instructing them instead of the spirit. They're making that place of wrong decisions. Their two decisions are on the shelf. One is God and one's self. Which one are you going to make? Then we find the body. The body is the place of fulfillment, places where your choices are carried out. God, Bible says, the Spirit says, read your Bible. The body is where that's carried out. The soul says, I don't feel like reading my Bible. And so the body carries it out. The body carries out whatever the spirit or the soul tells you to do. I suggest you make the right choice. The gift of a restful soul. Wonderful gift, the Spirit. He will give you rest. Go back to our passage, if you will, please. And go back there. So we realize this exchange, your load of noise for a restful soul. First, you need to understand the grief of a heavy load. It's heavy. It's heavy. Then you need to see the gift of a restful soul. Hallelujah. I don't have to live in the soul. I can live in the flesh. I mean, in the spirit. And the spirit then will give me power to have a restful time in my soul. Because that's where the place of feeling is. How many of you ever been in a bad mood? Let's see all of our hands if you've been in a bad mood. Well, I don't find anywhere in the Bible the doctrine of moodology. But you know what the Bible calls that? Sin. We're listening to the soul instead of the spirit. And so we have to watch those kind of things in our life. And then notice here, not only is the gift of a heavy load his heart on us, not only the grief of a heavy load, but then the gift of a restful soul. But notice thirdly, the God who is more than enough. Notice what he said. Go there, back to our passage, and look there again. Those words in the end of verse 28, I will give you what? Rest. Wow. That's a gift. Now let me say this. God is always good. You say amen to that? God is always great. God is always God. Get that down in your thought life. God is always good. He never wakes up grumpy. Isn't that great? God never wakes up grumpy. God is always great. He's in control of all the events in your life. Now, the world that we physically live in may be out of control, but God is not out of control. God is in control. You know why? Because God is good, God is great, and God is always God. He never changes. He never changes. Isn't that wonderful? God never changes. He's always God. He's always good. He's always great. So we looked at those first two. Restore your path. Come unto me. Come. And then exchange your load of noise for the load of rest. That horrible pit, that word horrible is that Hebrew word for noisy, where all these sounds and things are flooding my mind and taking away my rest. It's a grieving, heavy load. I thank God for the gift of rest in our spirit that affects our soul. The third letter is S, seek to know Him. Seek to know Him. Go back to our passage again. Look with me in verse 29. Take my yoke upon me and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest in your souls. He repeats the rest here that He wants to give you. Now get this. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly. Notice the word take, underlying three words there in that verse. Take, learn, and find. Get those three words. Take. You know, that speaks of a decision you make. That's a decision. Take is a decision you take. Now, you're here this morning, and you have maybe come here this morning with a restless soul. Some of the things we mentioned, let it be financial burdens, let it be family burdens, let it be the job burdens, whatever it is. You come here this morning, and now God's saying it's time for you to make a decision. You have no rest. You can have it. I will tell you today, more people are committing suicide today than ever before, because they hear all the sounds of this world that are saying things are bad. Can I say this reverently, dogmatically? God is never bad. The things He puts in our life are always right and good. Take, speaks of it, my yoke, one made for you. I want you to get that. When they take that oxen, the growing oxen to do most of the work, and put a yoke and attach it to another smaller, and He would put them together. God has a yoke just made for you. And everything that happens in your life is part of that yoke. Everything that happens in my life is part of that yoke that God placed upon. And made for you and designed just for you. The second word is learn. Where the word take speaks of decision. The word learn speaks of development. Learn of me. Now get me, folks. You've heard me also say that it's not a matter of maturing, to be a mature Christian. It's maturing. It's a constant process. I want to be closer to God today than I was yesterday. I want to grow more like Him. Look what He says in verse 29. Take my yoke upon and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your soul. You can try pills. Like the fellow said, he says, you take these wonder drugs a day and you wonder what's going to happen next. But I want you to know something. You take of Him and you'll find rest in your soul. What he's saying in the text here. Learn. God puts certain things. I remember when I was going through college, I might have mentioned this before too, when I was training for the ministry, I took courses that were, to me, had no value to them. But I wanted to get that degree that I felt I needed. I never forget the course in zoology. Now, what in the world does a pastor need with zoology? Nothing. But it was a required course that I needed to take. I don't know, remember today, what all I learned. I never did learn how to cut up a frog or any other animal. I never learned, but I learned a great deal in that class from the one who taught that class. God says, Stevens, you need to be in that class. She was a retired Army sergeant. who ran the classes like she was the general. We would come to class. He never called anybody by their first name. It was always Stevens or Smith or whoever it was. And she had rules. She laid down, and if you missed those rules, you were in trouble. I remember if you missed because you were sick, you almost had to go to the ER and have them prove that you were sick in order to pass the course. How many of you know what I'm talking about with people like that? I'll never forget, I think I told the story, when our firstborn was born and Marilyn was in labor 24 hours. I was in labor 48. I was sitting in the way, I don't know, back those days, I don't even know why the father ever showed up, because they wouldn't let you in the room, had no part with it whatsoever. But that's what you were supposed to do. And I'm studying how to cut up a frog for the final exam. I could care less. My son was being born. And I will forget, I missed that class by an hour and a half. And I walked in there, and she said, "Stevens, too late. You flunked the course. See you next semester. You're going to do a repeat." "Yes, ma'am." As I walked out the room, she said, "By the way, if I didn't know any better, you look like you've been in a drunk all night. What's going on in your life?" I said, "My wife just had a baby." She said, "You bring that baby here in 2 weeks. I want proof that your wife had a baby." "Yes, ma'am. I brought that baby in 2 weeks." She said, "Okay, you passed the course. You don't even have to take. I'll just make sure you wasn't lying." I'll never, that of all the professors, and I had lots of professors, great Bible teachers, but that's the one I remember. That was the yoke I needed. Disciplined. You know, God would put some discipline yokes in our life. We need to wear them. God's in charge. We called her, her name was Miss Erton. We called her Hurtin' with Miss Erton. Am I listening to me? Learn. I discovered something when I graduated with that degree. I still was in school. You listening to me? You, all of you are still in school. Learning. Be the Christian that God wants you to be. Look here at the third word. So first word is take. That's a decision. Learn is development. He'll put things in your life to mature you, keep you growing. And then find. That speaks of discovery. Becoming like me. Look there in verse 29. "Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly. You shall find rest in your soul." I love Psalm 23. You love it? It's a great psalm. "The Lord is my shepherd." What? I shall not want. You know why? Because when the Lord is your shepherd, guess what? He gives you all you want. "I shall have no needs." He is there to take care of them. The final letter is the letter T. We looked at first R for restore your pay. "Come to me," says. You're tired. You're wore out. You got a noisy soul. You're up to here with all kinds of problems, all kinds of grief, all kinds of heavy load. You need to exchange that load. The only way to exchange that load is to take on my load. And it's so light. It's so light. Because you're just a little oxen hooked to a bigger oxen. I do all the work. Then he says, thirdly, to seek to know him. He said, "Learn of me. Learn of me." Take, learn, find. And then the last, treasure your time. T, treasure your time with God as your most important asset. Treasure it. As your most important asset in this world is the time you spend with God. I want you to notice three times, particularly in Scripture, that God will tell us to be still. You know what he means? Turn with me to Psalm 46. It's the first one I want to have to turn to in Psalm 46. So take a moment to turn over there in verse 10. Be still and know that I'm God, says the Word. I will be exalted above the heaven. I will be exalted in the earth. The word be still in this passage means to abandon all these noisy things we just talked about. The depression, the guilt, the bitterness, the anger, whatever those noises may be, they keep you with no rest. Be still. And the word be still has the idea of meditating on Him. And know that I am God. The word be still is meditation. The word know that I am God is illumination. Only when you take that time to abandon everything else and spend time with Him will He illuminate in your mind who He is, and then you have here exaltation. And I will be exalted among the heathen. Now, I've got news for you, folks. How many believe there's only one God? None of us believe that. How many have ever worried? That's another God. Hello, folks. That's another God. How many have ever been depressed? That's another God. How many have ever lusted? That's another God. How many have ever had guilt for your sin? You actually worship it. How many have had bitterness? I've heard people tell me, I've stayed up all night thinking about what that person did to me. They thought they were mad at that person. They were actually worshiping a god of bitterness in their heart. See, there are other gods that we better learn to forsake and call them what they are. And you can only do that as you treasure your time. Be still. That's meditation. Know that I am God. That's illumination. And I will be exalted among the heathen. Exaltation. That's the only God we need to exalt, folks. There's only really one God. But we have worry as a replacement from that God to take move Him out of our place. Maybe that's a, you see, how many believe worry is a sin? You better believe it. It is a sin. Take a second time. Go with me to the book of Exodus. And go with me to chapter 14 of the book of Exodus. And as you go there, you'll find a second time he'll use the word still. Verse 13 of chapter 14. And Moses said to the people, fear ye not. What? Stand still. And see the salvation of the Lord. Fear not. Fear is a tremendous cancer that eats away at a Christian. They were about ready to face the enemy that wanted to annihilate them, even as the enemy is going to annihilate Israel today. He said to them, what? Fear not. If I could ever speak to the Israel as a nation, I'd say, hey, folks, guess what? No one will ever destroy you because you're God's people. You're safe as a nation. Individuals may die. We're all going to die. That's going to happen unless the Lord comes to the rapture. As a nation, God will restore you. What is he saying here? In other words, be still. That is see the salvation of God. You say, but I be still, stand still. Daniel chapter 12 reminds us, in the last days, people be what? Running what? To and fro. Chapter 12, verse 4, Daniel. He said, it's time you stand still and just trust me. Stand still. Be still. I'll not take time to turn to the third reference, but it's in Ruth chapter 3, verse 18. Naomi says to Ruth, sit still. See what God's going to do. But you don't know. I got to get things done. Nothing is more important than making that exchange and realize that be still, stand still, and sit still are God's tremendous treasures that you need and I need for rest. As we close this morning service, I don't know what God is doing in your heart this morning, but if you're here today, there's just restlessness. Is it guilt? Is it anger? Is it bitterness? Is it depression? Whatever it may be. Maybe it's some good things that just control you. They become gods who have taken the place of the only God this morning. There is no rest. And as we give an invitation, the invitation this morning is to simply come. Just come. Now I would invite you to find an altar, a place at the altar this morning, and come. Just spend some time for a few moments here this morning at the altar and say, dear God, I need to come. And life is terrible. That's why so many people are ending it. Are you happy in the Lord this morning? I am. I just want to be happy in the Lord. Enjoy Him. Enjoy the service. Let's all stand together with our head bowed as the instruments come this morning. If you're here and you need to just come this morning and say, God just definitely spoke to my heart this morning and I need to get that rest. I need to make that exchange this morning. I am restless this morning. And He says to me, come. Restore your passion for me. Make the exchange. Change the place of feeling for the place of faith. Are you in the spirit this morning or in this feeling area of your soul? Do you know Him? Take His yoke upon. Learn. How about the word be still? Stand still. Sit still. Are the words that you treasure this morning? As a song leader comes, if you need to find a place at the altar, I pray that you will. For you need that rest. And I wouldn't hesitate if I came with a noisy soul and I was so tired within my soul that I need that rest. I would come. As our brother comes and leaves, two stands of us, and I invite you to make a decision this morning. Take, learn, and discover that rest this morning.
Hymn number 471.